Welcome, everybody, to the final episode of the Love Song Book Club podcast. I'm your host, Aspiety, and joining me this week, we have Biscuit Dough once more.
Thou art I, and I am thou. Thou hast established a new bond. Thou shalt be blessed when creating personas of the Love Song Arcana.
Well, that didn't date the episode at all.
Canon?
Hello, I'm Canon.
And Bionic.
Hi, how are you?
Now then, we're here with the final five songs of Owari no Hoshi no Love Song. We have Yuki no Furanai Hoshi, Hifukuyama no Mahotsukai, Last Smile, Hiro no Joken, and Kono Hoshi no Birthday Song. It wasn't so bad. My pronunciation probably could use a little bit of work, but...
I think that third one is actually called Rastu Smayuru.
Rastu Smayuru. Yes, sorry. But it's, like, written in English orthography, so it okay. I can totally pronounce it in like, my native accent. So then, yeah, we're at the end of the world, and it's a lot of depressing things, but there's kind of a light at the end of the tunnel, so... I hope you'll stick with us to the end of the podcast, at least.
Which ends right now, because unfortunately for all of you, everyone fucking died.
Yeah.
Well, we can't record this podcast. We're speaking from beyond the grave.
Yeah, I think as soon as I started recording, everyone was coughing. So, like, we've already contracted the last smile disease.
Ebola's here.
Rip. So, without further ado, let's dive into Yuki no Furanai Hoshi.
I didn't do this song very well. The thread did a way better job than me.
Yeah.
I thought it was about a bunch of people who just fucking dies when the world ends, but everyone else is like, oh, the snowman is representing of a child and their relationship is falling apart.
I feel like that might have been a bit far. I did like what everyone was saying, but that one was, I was like, okay. That's something. I mean, it does kind of look like a kid at the table in the picture. You know?
Yeah, it's like, it's hard to place this one anywhere because it's probably the most ambiguous song in all of Owari. Lots of people are commenting that it feels like it belongs in the original Love Song better, which is very true. And especially if, like, the setting doesn't look particularly post-apocalyptic either. This looks like it could very well take place before... The ruination of the world, as Ken likes to put it.
Feel like that's a running theme in these first little couple songs. Maybe that's just me.
You reckon?
These songs seem to kind of break up that kind of vibe from the previous songs of the, like, everything is in this ruined world. Like, I feel like this is kind of more proceeding maybe towards that end, but isn't quite there yet. This feels a bit more modern.
Yeah.
With the seasons,
which I think
just,
is fine. I think
the seasons are just suddenly disappearing, and the world is like gone nuts.
Yeah, I've always kind of been of the impression that it kind of bounces around a little bit. I didn't feel like it was kind of part of one multiple running narratives within the same time space, but maybe within like the same world, just at different times.
So, yeah.
There's the whole seasons in disarray thing from Killer Song.
Yeah, that's true. So,
I always felt Killer Song felt a bit more archaic.
So we have the surface story of, like, the seasons and shit. And... Yes, does someone else want to talk about the surface story? Bionic, maybe?
Me. Sure, I can see how long I can talk before someone comes downstairs. So I really am on board the whole child theory because it makes a lot of sense. Well, at first I thought the snowman represented like their love together, right? And their love was slowly dwindling because maybe they were growing apart or something. Really similar to a love song. But it does make sense that the snowman was their like a representation of their child because, you know, if you're in love and you create something, chances are what you created is a child. You know, they snuggled with each other and they hurt each other. Made a child.
I was like, okay, so like, I feel like the semblance there makes a lot of sense, but I feel like it's not so literal. Like, I feel like they're like the snowman is. I feel like that's an attributing. Like, okay, let me try to start from the beginning. I feel like these two people might have tried to have had a child and then were not successful, such as like a miscarriage or something. And I feel like the snowman slowly melting away year by year is them coming to an acceptance with that loss. In the same sense that society may be having to come to terms with acceptance that the world is failing them, and that the world is constantly getting worse, is kind of the overall vibe that I ended up getting from the whole story. Like, I feel like there's like kind of a weird kind of psychosis thing going on with like the psychotic thing where like there's that this attachment with the snowman, like, oh, we're just gonna bring the snowman in and that's gonna be our child, and like it's kind of a really sad kind of thing going on there. But then I feel like as it's melting away and there's no snow to be able to bring in anymore to make the snowman, then that's them having to basically swallow that pill and be like, well, hey, we were able to smile and like we can continue to move on with each other and it's okay. Because I feel like, specifically with these last few songs, I feel like the theme of children and a new generation is something that is extremely pertinent. Yeah. So I feel like that applies here very heavily.
That's good. That's good stuff.
As far as, like, musically, it progresses pretty nice, but it doesn't really go too far. I know not a lot of people really had much to say about, like, the instrumentation and everything. I actually really like the song. I think it's really easy listening. It's good. And I think it's pretty emotional, and I specifically have a huge affinity towards the little violins during all the little like main verses.
I think everyone does.
And it's one of the reasons that I always wanted this freaking song to have an instrumental version, because if I could make my text tone that little violin noise, my life would be so much better, you know? But like, story and musically and everything about the song actually comes together really cohesively in a really nice way, because I feel like the song, it makes me feel warm. It makes me feel warm inside, like these people are feeling warm inside when it's cold outside kind of thing. Like, I feel like everything comes together and it kind of gives me that kind of fuzzy feeling about it. And it makes me feel good. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the illustration is also very... like, it definitely helps towards that atmosphere.
Totally.
Huddling together in the warmth when it's cold outside. Because we don't know what it's outside. That looks very modern, but if there could be a fucking desert outside, you know?
I mean, at the very least, it looks like they have electricity. I mean, that's pretty good.
Possibly.
Possibly. I can't imagine there's a desert out there if they have a snowman.
But the snowman's melting. Well, yeah, you know what I mean. Sorry.
Well, he's maybe inside in the warmth.
There's a fucking snowman inside. I mean, that's fucking about.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Either way, like, we don't know what the outside looks like. It could be, like, a completely ruined world for all we know, but, eh. It's open to interpretation. And I'm relying too much on the illustration. Kind of
a, I guess the end goal here is, like, kind of doom and impending doom probably ain't so bad. Because it can also be kind of the embrace of some new hope. So, like, the doom is the looming snowman of the dead child that's just overbearing it all the time.
Or the dead world, you know?
It could also be it melting. Oh, I feel it's definitely all connected. I think that the world is a huge connection. But it's just kind of, like, mixing with this story. But, like, also, as that's melting away, it's also kind of like that burden is melting away, because they're obviously happy and they're enjoying their times, and I think that they're starting to come to terms with some things, which is a good thing. So it has a nice progression to it.
Yes. Because, like, I guess this is kind of, like, words that I've kind of been pondering myself recently, is that you can only gain certain things after giving up. And sometimes it takes accepting a loss to be able to move forward with life instead of just... you know, that there is benefit to giving up sometimes. It's such like a negative thing in society and our cultural values, but it's not, it doesn't always have to be a negative thing. Sometimes stubbornly never giving up can be more damaging than just accepting that, you know, giving up.
That your snowman child is dead.
It's kind of like the promotion of shirking responsibility at the same time, because like if there's something going wrong with the world and they're just kind of sitting around having a good time, it's kind of like they're not really doing anything to help, but I guess no, they're happy, so.
Makes you wonder if they really could do anything.
As a last note... Go ahead.
I think it's like in Last Mile where they're just trying to enjoy their last moments.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not there yet. Spoilers.
Okay.
as a final note, there's a psychological thing I'm going to throw in there. Is that it also reminds me a lot of like... I can't remember the specific name of the routine, but there's a therapy that includes the envisioning of your pain as something like... envisioning your pain as something mentally, and then dealing with that pain in that mental state. So it's like kind of a
I should know this, and I can't remember the name for it.
kind of like a meditation in a sense, and like the most common example is envisioning like a lake.
Yeah, externalizing your pain.
Envisioning a lake and then draining the lake within your mind slowly and calmly, and like having that be the something that you attribute your pain to, so you're seeing it diminish, is the same as like the snowman and the pain of the child and everything on it all coming together. It's cool. It's interesting. It's an interesting way to view it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I guess we should move on.
Yeah, I don't think we have a whole lot to say about this particular song. Then we have Hifukiyama no Mahotsukai.
Best song.
The Saucer and the Volcano, was it? What was the official translation there?
Wizard of Fire Top Mountain, I think.
Hang on, give me a second, I got the book here.
It translates to, oh shit, it's a fucking dragon.
Spoilers.
It's not like everyone hasn't already listened to it.
The Saucer of the Volcano is what the book says.
Yeah.
Of course, the book also calls Ori-chan a man, but we won't get into that until later.
Huh.
Thanks, well, the book. Yeah, the book translations are a bit sketchy.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a full-on fantasy story, and we haven't really seen the likes of this in a while. I mean, like, there's been, like, vaguely supernatural stuff and time travel, but this is the first time where we're actually hearing, like, magic... and dragons and shit.
It doesn't start as one. It starts just like it would be like some sort of silly kind of folklore, and then it becomes that, which is really interesting. I feel like there's a lot of interesting developments throughout the story, which is something that not all these stories have, where I feel like there's a lot of developing happening. That's how you phrase that.
I feel like in hindsight, I can definitely see this song being more of a folklore sort of thing. If we go back to Love Song and Gramophone, I kind of have a similar vibe.
this could be a Disney movie.
Yeah. So maybe there's some truth to it, but maybe like I find the dragon bit the hardest to swallow in this sort of like realistic world.
There's kind of a funny, I don't want to say irony because it's probably wrong, but there's something just funny developments in this. I feel like at the end where I just. Whenever I overlook the story of this song, I just kind of chuckle because it's kind of cool but kind of silly at the same time. I don't know, it's interesting.
So that realistic world, Aspie, with the time travel and the blind man who can see.
but dragons, like I can kind of accept like supernatural stuff in a modern world.
I feel like dragons.
Well, where the fuck does a dragon come from?
From the volcano. Are you not watching the song?
Have you ever been inside of a volcano, Aspie? No? Well, there you have.
Oh, yeah. He got me.
Anyways. So this is produced by a specific musician that I'm a huge fan of. I just wanted to throw it out there. This is by... This was musician-shipped by Yu Yupe, and it is a distinctly Yu Yupe sounding song. It is very crunchy. It is, if you've ever listened to anything that he's done, and this is 10,000% him, and that's why I love it. but the story's cool too.
It is a very catchy song. I think this is probably, I want to say this might be the third most popular song of the album.
This is
number one for me. I love this song.
The video yeah. helps.
Yep.
Yesterday,
the video helps.
also, the story is like kind of badass in its own way. It develops in a way that you wouldn't suspect, I guess.
Yeah.
It is quite interesting.
Yeah.
Well, with the dragon. I guess we should cover that. Yeah, the part with the dragon, sure.
I really like Pepe's interpretation here. Because, like, the whole idea of the girl using the magic to turn the boy into diamond, like, isn't the first thing you'd think of if you had some crazy magical stone of just how to save your friend, you'd, like, turn them to diamond? It really feels to me like this is sort of a curse of the stone, and it's kind of, like, fated that whoever uses it will then become the next stone, is kind of what Pepe was saying. It really, like, seems interesting when you think about that, like, a person becoming stone, and then... That's,
I mean, I
like,
think it's funny that the thing that, like, the first thing she wishes is for the dragon to burst into flames. Like, what a strange thing. Fuck, it's on fire. Like, it's in a volcano, chick. Like, how is that really going to affect
that
it?
That shit works, man.
It works.
Dragon's like, oh shit, I'm on fire, and it
falls
in.
Which comes around to like, kind of how this whole story is funny to me. Okay, so, like, it starts out with this boy who's all like, oh, I read this crazy story, we need to go look at this stuff, and the chick's just like, yeah, whatever. And they go do the thing, because the guy's crazy. And then they go into this mountain, and surprise, there's actually a goddamn dragon. And the dragon, like, kills the kid or whatever. And the reason that that's funny is because the kid makes this statement that he wants to get the power within the mountain, because there's this special thing in the mountain, this crystal that'll give you the power to make wishes and stuff. So he says that he wants it because he wants to protect someone, and like, because I'm a simpleton, I'm just like, okay, he wants to protect the girl, right? Like, clearly that's what he's thinking. Ah, I'm gonna be big and strong for this girl that I'm hanging out with, right? So they go to the mountain, and then he gets fucking killed by the dragon, and the girl is the one who's trying to save him. So that immediately flips, and the girl becomes the one who's actually kind of strong here, because, you know, she's the one who's trying to deal with the situation. She gets the stone, and I think it's really interesting that you mention, she rushes to go find the crystal or whatever. And I thought it was cool how you mentioned how Pepe was talking about how there's, like, a curse to it. And I think that it's, like, it's one of those things where whatever you wish for, if you're not very specific, you're not necessarily going to get what you want. So she wishes for the dragon to burst into flames, which doesn't help the situation. But what happens is the dragon just so happens to, like, kind of step on some shaky rock, which breaks from underneath it. So did the stone really grant her wish? I don't know. Because, I mean, it's a dragon in a volcano that probably breathes fire or something, so it's probably just fire everywhere. And so you can't necessarily say that, from the girl's perception, that she actually burst the dragon into flames, right? So maybe it just happened to fall in the lava, and you think,
a coincidence.
Well, clearly the stone is magic, but maybe it isn't. Like, you don't really know. And then she makes the whole turn the boy into crystal thing, which is like, okay. I don't know.
Because the magic was within you the whole
time. Yeah, there you go. So I don't know. I just think that kind of twist, I guess that is a trope. An unexpected twist development or whatever.
Yeah.
It's probably a trope, because everything's a trope these days, let's be honest. Nothing is original, right?
But yeah, it's all pretty stock, I guess. I do like the twist that the girl kind of ends up becoming the protector at the very
protagonist.
End.
Protagonist, yeah.
I always dig that shit.
The boy's like, I'm gonna become stronger, and it's just like, the boy gets fucked, and now she's like, I'm gonna be stronger. It's like, oh, okay.
Which happens a lot in love
so
song,
that's
actually.
How it happens.
It happens a lot in love song. Just like the some person getting tagged along, and then they become the new protagonist. It happens.
Sick and tired of your bamboozles, Mida.
There's a lot of that in Iwari. A lot. There's like Muteki no Soldier.
Iwari no bamboozle.
What the fuck are you going on about?
It's about inspiring others.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I guess it really is.
Right, Bionic, talk about that, please. Stop.
What? Oh, okay.
You're on a podcast.
So, very recently, I had a lot of problems with, like, people not working as, like, hard as I would like them to and stuff like that. So this song, like, while reading the lyrics and stuff, I came across, well, the message that I took out of it was that y'all need to try your best, and if you give like 100% or whatever your 100% is, you can make anything happen, right? And then, but what really matters is you need someone to inspire you to do it. The message is, don't go inside a volcano. Okay, so she was inspired to go into the volcano by the boy, right? And then she did it, and because the boy died, I guess, now she's inspired to become a wizard. So she wouldn't have become a wizard anyways, and now she knows what she wants to do with her life, which is, well, master her magic more, save the dude, maybe live in the volcano.
It's just a cool song, okay? And I get excited, and by
and there's a dragon
getting excited by cool songs, I like to talk about dumb shit about it. Like, it's a fucking dragon.
Yeah, it's
also
a fucking
dragon. The dragon's roar is in the music, and it makes me so hot.
Oh yeah, it does roar in the music. Cool.
Yes, it is.
Never noticed
you wouldn't
that
notice it. You wouldn't notice it at all if you didn't have the video. I think it's so cool.
I think there's like a really loud like cymbal smash right in there, so you can barely hear it sometimes.
Yeah.
Listen, pretty nice.
Next song? Because yeah. I know you want to talk about that last smile.
Sad times. Time for sadness.
This is a really good song, and it makes me cry every time.
Yeah, I like this song. I like the way it sounds.
I've actually never watched the animation before. I don't know.
Wow.
Why not?
I don't know.
How?
Cannon pointed out something really good about the animation, because he raised the question about how it's like, why the fuck does this get an animation?
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, like, from looking at it at face value, you're just like, why? And then it's really because of the face value that you need to look at it, because the expressions are pretty fucking phenomenal.
The face value.
Hey!
Oh.
Hey!
But yeah, I don't know what to say about this other than... definitely got those
to say about it.
It's got those it's got those methamphetamines going all through it, but
methamphetamines.
Yeah, it's my new favorite word.
Stop.
But yeah, the whole idea of the boy, the man trying desperately to help her and not being able to is really sobering. Contrary to what Bionic said, just because you're determined doesn't mean you can do anything.
I got a counter argument for that, but that's for Hero the Joker.
I got a counter argument for that.
We should have learned from Love Song already that contradictions are very important, because there is no answer to anything.
Reassuring.
there's an answer to the question of did she die? Yes.
Yes.
In the realm of love and saving the world, you're not going to find a silver bullet. I think that is a very important thing to realize whenever you think about the meanings of a lot of these songs. They may have clashing morals, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the morals themselves are bad in relation to one another. So the story. Let's go ahead and just cover everything that this is actually about, and why there's kind of, I guess, mixed views about what the story is trying to tell you. So there's this chick, right? And she's like, I'm gonna save the world and all these kids and stuff. But then the world was like, I'm really fucking strong, and it beat her. Because that shit happens. But you know what? She tried, and that's what's important.
Yeah.
Some dude falls for her, for some inexplicable reasons. I'm not really sure why. It doesn't really get explained.
Doesn't
I think
matter.
He's just one of the kids she's saved.
Wants to touch
try to save.
Yeah, like.
He's just like, oh damn, she saved me. I'm a bang that.
I mean, he seems older, and then the kids at the end seem a lot like younger. I don't know.
I mean, who knows how long she's been working on this.
True.
Could have saved him and moved on to those, and then Kibola.
Possible. But anyways, he wants to do something to, like, kind of carry the torch, right? And he's not able to because he's just not smart enough. And the moral kind of comes to, like, finding acceptance in that he's not going to be able to handle that kind of thing, because it's just not enough time for him to be able to comprehend all of that information to find some way to carry forward the research of whatever she was researching that clearly ended up getting her sick, so that he can find a way, because he probably would just end up sick himself if he even tried, because he's just not read enough for it. So she tells him, hey, let's just talk about whatever. And they're able to smile through it. And the smile is the most important thing here, because there just becomes this entire idea about, like, because they were able to smile, and even though she wasn't able to, you know, save all those kids or whatever, she was able to smile for them, and that gave them hope, and then they were all able to smile, and then it becomes the happiness spiral, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even though it may be her last smile, it's contagious, and it's going to carry on and then move forward to...
Oh, just like the Ebola. A smile, disease, same thing. Just pass it on.
Interesting. But yeah.
Outside of the actual story or the narrative or whatever about what's happening with the kids and the disease and this, that, and the other thing, there's a lot of romance going on in a way that is not typical, and I really like that, because, or not typical from just at a glance, because the specific line that stands out is, you know, they didn't touch, but they still felt one another, and that is ridiculously important in regards to romance.
Hmm.
And I think that's what makes something romantic.
It's very sweet that they were able to put it all aside at the end there and just focus on each other. Because, you know, like I was saying before, there's some things that can only be gained by giving up. And if you were to stubbornly persist in trying to save the world, you would probably never be able to experience that happiness that they did at the end there.
And then finding that happiness that they find, maybe they are still able to do something by spreading joy, you know, so hey, that's whatever.
Exactly.
Very similar themes to the first song that we talked about.
I just thought you were talking about Hero No Joking the entire time. Spoilers, I guess.
But I also really love how this music in combination with the video kind of uses that piano there to demonstrate the dripping.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I was gonna bring that up.
Yeah, it's good.
It
actually progresses really well. The final track actually does the same thing where it just progresses super nicely. Where it actually swells quite a bit without you really noticing. It's pretty smooth. Yeah, it's good. Good song. I like to listen to it quite a bit. It's very emotional.
Animation helped a lot for me, personally.
Yeah. The IV isn't dripping at the end. Ah, because she's dead.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. That's nice. That's
and
how you do
things. Hayate pointed out that the hair clip was, like, broken in the final thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which also happens to look like a heart, which is interesting. Yeah. But, yeah.
Carries forward the torch of the children again and life. Specifically, it's just kind of, you know, you might not be able to literally, like, save a life or to, like, bring about more life, but to live is to smile, and she was able to bring that for the children and everything, and so, like, happiness is everything. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you feel good.
Before we move on, I want to point out something that Helio said in the chat that I thought was pretty cool. It's this song's like pretty similar to Hairo no Hane from the Love Song album, where you have two people on other sides and they're trying to like learn each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool comparison.
Yeah, you're right. Now then, Hiro no Joken, also known as Hiro for some reason.
Sanjo! Hisho! Shinjo! Sanjo!
Son of a bitch! I guess I'll go right into this. This is good music.
This is your baby cannon.
I mean, I like the song. But the story. Whoa, baby! So, as everyone has pointed out and is incredibly obvious, this song talks about most of the others. Except for the filler and the frozen dream. Like, you could say, I don't know if Sorcerer on the Volcano is in this universe, or how does Last Smile tie into all this? They're in this song, so they're in this universe, right? Maybe?
In a way.
You could say that.
They're in the universe in a way, either through folklore or through actual history.
which we can't say, but they are here. The stories exist, and that's what's important.
I feel like, from a storytelling perspective, it's nice to know that, because none of the other songs make it explicit that it's all the same world, but this one does. And
this is like, hey, this shit's important.
Yeah.
So we're going to say it all again.
Seriously, dragons happen, guys. Just in case
you
missed it,
this is the recap episode, motherfucker. Like, you didn't pay attention.
It's not just a recap, because it also adds on to the stories.
Yeah. It does. It does. Because this in and of itself is another story.
If you go by important. My interpretation, this tells what happens after all those songs, and oftentimes makes them a little bit better.
Mm.
I'll just read my post.
Let's go.
That's fine.
One time, the wizard living on the volcano. Now, I think that's the one that doesn't make it better. Because it implies she never saved him. She just lives on the volcano trying to save him.
Bad start, bad start.
Well, remember...
Bad start.
Well, hey. Well, hey, no, that's not a bad start. Because remember what we said about this song is that it's about the importance about having a goal, not necessarily the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Having a driving force is what's important there. I think that that comes through, so it's still good. Because, remember, that stupid crystal that grants wishes, it might just be a fucking rock. Like, it might not actually do anything. But it's important that she has that there.
Maybe she's protecting other people from turning into crystal.
There you go. Sorry, carry on. I had to defend my baby.
Man, this is a bad start, because Last Smile and Killer Song also don't really add anything to the song. And then we get to Riteki no Soldier. One time, to an invincible female soldier. So she took up his mantle. That's great, that's fantastic.
That's great news. I mean, it worked.
She was a savage little pile of garbage, and he fucking died to show her not to be. And she took up his mantle. She became a freaking hero, helping saving people.
That's important.
Yeah.
This is very important.
Because it's good to know.
That was one of the worst moral stories.
His act was successful. And that's what's important.
He didn't die for nothing.
Yeah.
Unlike the boy in the volcano. But if we move on.
He wasn't the important one.
One had found the Ark of Hope and taken it to the sky. So did the Ark exist? Yeah, that kind of implies the Ark existed.
The Ark of Hope.
Mm.
Was it a literal ark? Or was it the hope?
Or was the ark in their hearts all along?
Well, they took it to the fucking sky, so maybe they just died and went to heaven with the idea.
I think the dragon's real, so I don't really have any issue with the magical spaceship ark that turns into a robot. So I like to think that this implies that the Ark existed and the surviving person found it. Great, more good endings. Yeah. One had saved each other from death sentences.
That is so poorly translated, what the fuck?
Yeah, that really is. but in Execution of Koi, he didn't die, she came back, she saved him. Probably, I don't know, maybe he then proceeded to rob her and then caught again.
Well, I think what that does is like, okay, either, you know, if she did save him, like, I think that's important because remember what I said about the song. I feel like she wasn't a malicious being in that song, even though I feel like a lot of people think that she was the one who robbed him. I didn't think that was the case, and I still stand to that, and I think this supports my thought in that.
Yeah. Like, this is one of those things where the song didn't give you the true ending at all, if this is to be believed. Because that is very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's my favorite one. One had regained the long-forgotten smile. She could smile again. The picture...
Boy, this guy gotta go.
Yeah. The picture is real. She's smiling in the ruined world. Because she can. Because,
The illustration.
No matter how bad things get, you should press on forward and maybe things will get better. Oh, maybe the album tries to tell that a lot.
Yeah.
One had made real flowers bloom. So, no, that was supposed to be impossible.
Yeah.
As Pepe said, if you've got a corpse, you can make anything grow.
That's exactly what I was going to say! Yeah, it fed the rest.
But I feel like this one being at the end also kind of sort of implies perhaps it's a sign. The ruined world is recovering. Life can be born in this ruined world. Wink, wink, wink.
Absolutely.
So, this is such a positive-ass song. Shame he doesn't become a hero.
Shame. Damn shame. You want to know why he doesn't become a hero, though?
Go for
it. Alone.
He didn't become a hero because you're thinking about it. Because
he's alone.
I know. That was a segue for you guys.
Oh, let's go. Okay. Oh, so I'm super excited about this one, because this is the one that I love the most. So, the boy, he decides to become a hero, right? So this is like I forgot the word. Like initiation, right? He has an idea, and then now he's going to follow through with it, right? By any way possible. And then, so the singer of the song is like someone older than him, I guess. And they doubt him, because they're like, oh, how's this little kid going to do this? So, boy works hard, he thinks about it, and he's like, okay, the easiest way to do it is to probably gather other people who are more qualified than me. So, one time to the wizard living in the volcano. So, this means that the girl's living in the volcano. And that means that she learned enough magic to come back to the volcano. And now she's working hard to save her friend. So, that's proof that if you want something done, you can get it done. At one time to the researcher beyond the glass. I believe that this means that the friend of the researcher, the boy, he like decided that her death what inspired him to learn to do science. So he is now the researcher beyond the glass.
Yeah, because researcher beyond the glass, if that's the word that they chose to translate it to, I don't know if it's accurate. That does imply not within, but beyond means outside of confinement.
But he wasn't smart enough.
It implies that he wasn't smart enough in time. He wasn't going to be able to comprehend it in such a short amount of time. Is what I'm saying. Because you can accomplish anything if you put your mind to it. He just wasn't smart enough yet. This means that he was able to go on and then take his time to become something. Yeah. That's how I view it.
Either that or he also got Kibola and now he's beyond the glass.
That could have happened. Maybe the exact same thing happened to him as happened to
I like the interpretation that he's able to.
Yeah, I want to be happy. This is a happy song.
I think that it contextually makes the most sense for him to be able to move forward as the researcher.
One time to the Lord of the Impregnable Castle. So he killed a bunch of people. He told the girl to kill a bunch of people, kind of. So why is he a hero? Well, Canon pointed this out. Because he saved the orphanage, right? Because they were going to steal their water. But then he also saved the one girl, and then this is really important to the whole Hero Nojoken as a whole, because it's the one part of the song that says, you can be a hero to anybody, right? Like, to the girl, he's a hero for saving her, for giving her purpose, because apparently she did nothing before that. So rather than, like, being dedicated to something, it shows that anyone can be a hero, and it's really in the eye of the beholder.
And he saved the children.
One time to invincible
No, it's just Biz keeps going on about children in these last songs, and what he saved was the children.
Yeah,
the children. They are important, definitely. And he saved them. One time to invincible female soldier. I agree with Canon completely.
Pretty much on point.
Yeah. Now the boy, having traveled and trying to learn a little bit, but he couldn't manage to gather anyone. But he still doesn't give up because he's been inspired by their stories, and now. Instead of like actually going to people or trying to gather them, he just learns about them. Because, you know, like first they said one time he went to a wizard, and then now in this next stanza they're saying one had found, one had saved, because he's just going, he's going, or he's not going to them, he's learning about them so he can become a better hero himself.
Correct.
And moving on, one had found the Ark of Hope and took it to the sky. So, yeah, they found the Ark, which means that the dude who didn't die in the Ark story, he was inspired enough to go find it. Even though he originally doubted its existence, now he's like, oh, cool.
Or he just had enough food and supplies, maybe, I don't know.
Maybe they just that part.
You're just hella smart.
Yeah. was always the shit, what was the word I was looking for? No, never mind. Cut me out.
One had saved each other from the death sentence. That means that the executioner's love was not one-sided. So he was dedicated to making sure that the girl knew that she was loved, and, you know, it was reciprocated. So yeah, this is more proof that you can do whatever you want, put your mind to it. One regained the long-forgotten smile. I agree with Cannon on this one. The girl from the war in the second column has moved on. Or has, like, learned to smile. One had made real flowers bloom. So, I kind of thought of it as, like, you know how a flower blooming could represent someone waking up? So maybe she did wake up, in, like, a symbolic sense. But, maybe not.
That one's sketchy. That's the hard one.
Yeah, it's sketchy. So I don't know about that. And now we'll get into the good stuff. So, as you became a little stronger, you realized how powerless you were. I think that's pretty interesting because there's, like, on a learning curve. There's
a couple
right?
interpretations you, here, I think.
As you learn more, you realize how much more there actually is to what you want to do. So maybe you feel intimidated, right?
And in a few ways.
Now that you know that there's so much more to learn.
It could be...
So maybe he...
I think it's important to know that it could be, like, either that they feel powerless in regards to how dangerous the world is, or they feel powerless because they don't think that they can ever be as amazing as those people, like, in the stories. Like, I can never amount to being definitely. As cool as these guys.
Because you got people who are slaying dragons in mountains, right? And then you're just a little boy. You're like, what can I do? But here he learns... to accept that he's just a boy, but he still wants to be a hero, so he's going to resolve to do something. So he says, you have had enough with all the hero stuffs, and you decided to at least bring smiles to people.
Oh, my last smile.
So, yeah. So he's like, in his mind, maybe he's like, oh, this is not as cool as like killing dragons, but you know, I can at least do something. And I think at least doing something is better than doing nothing at all.
It sure is.
So, in a way, he's still a hero. And then in later line, it says...
What does he do?
What does he do? He dances, he dresses a clown, he does a picture story show, right? So he's entertaining these kids, and like...
Probably teaching them stories about all the other songs.
Entertains the children!
He's most definitely telling the stories of the heroes because they inspired him.
Are
right?
important.
So now he's inspiring more kids.
So now let us raise question. There's a lot of interesting stuff about the song in regards to like what it's like, what it says to me from an artist perspective. I feel like, you know, okay, so a person tries to become a hero, finds heroes in folklores. He doesn't actually find the heroes, but the knowledge of them is important. So this is kind of like the idea of like, well, a story may not be true, the merit of the story is still like good, like the moral is good. You should still be able to learn from it, regardless of whether or not it's something that literally happened. He wants to become stronger, but he still fails and kind of like finds his weakness in the scheme of things. But decides that he can still do something. So he's like, hey, I can make people smile because you know what? Hey. If I'm not, you know, some sort of superhero, then maybe I can be a hero for someone else and not necessarily the way that I view it. So I feel like he's still a hero here because he's going to be able to bring smiles and good memories to children. And those children are immensely important, I think, in a world like this. But so the questions I have is, from a writing perspective, what are the stories, who's the hero, and who are the children? And literally, all I came to is because, of course, it's Maida, and of course I'm me. I think that the hero is Maida. This is his coming to realization of what he's going to be. The children are us, the fans. And the show is this album. Is how I piece everything together. And I mean, I feel like it fits really nicely.
From
and
a
meta
perspective,
sense, it's him,
it is a good analog.
It's him. And, like, I feel like... it's almost kind of a self-gratification kind of thing, where I feel like Maida is able to kind of find care and find solace in the things that he's created and people being able to enjoy them, being able to enjoy those series.
That is a really good point. that's really good.
That's very much like kind of where I feel like I ended up after thinking about it so long. I can't even begin to try to like piece together all the reasons as to why I came to that, because it's an immense web of, I can just post the gif of fucking Charlie Day pointing at the thing. For anyone who knows what that reference is. I don't know. That's exactly how I feel. Like, I feel like we're the children. He's not able to successfully do anything himself because he thinks he's too weak, so he's going to throw down these stories and he's going to teach more people what they can do and say, like, here, you guys fucking do it. I don't know. it's interesting.
No, yeah, I agree 100%.
I think anyone can listen to the song and maybe feel something like that, right? Because
I feel like that
you're a hero to somebody.
I feel like that line of thinking is really important in regards to people being able to enjoy another specific piece of work that might have created that everybody really hates.
Shala.
And let's also point out the fact that this came out during the Angel Beats debacle, so we have both of those things to keep in mind what they're trying to accomplish, being something that is very admirable.
Mm. Absolutely, and I think that's kind of like, I don't want to get too dramatic, but I feel very similarly in my sort of life. It's just like, I don't know if I'll be able to fucking save the world, but at the very least I want to be able to do things to like help bring stories to people's lives.
This is literally my philosophy.
Yeah. Like,
being able I can to be identify the one it. Who changes the world. Being able to be the one who changes the world isn't the fucking important part. It's about being a piece of a whole that is trying to do that. And if you can at least be one of those pieces, then you're doing the right thing.
Exactly. Exactly, man. And I just want to bring it back to another thing Barney said. You keep saying the words, you can do anything if you put your mind to it. But I want to reshape that a little bit. I don't think it's that you can do anything if you can put your mind to it. But I think it's trying to communicate the message that there is no unrewarded effort. You may not get what you want, but there will always be...
That sounds better.
...consequences of what you're doing. So, if you dedicate your life to something and it doesn't work out,
it's
then...
give and take.
It's still like leaving the path for other people to follow, you know?
It's give and take. What am I going to sacrifice to be able to do something else?
Mm.
For the greater, bigger picture.
Mm. Yeah, no one's going to save the world in their lifetime, probably, but they could at least inspire other people to continue the work. Exactly.
It must be a collective effort.
Yeah. Good feels. Sorry, me and Biz kind of took over.
How are you feeling about all this, Cannon?
I've been nodding incredibly quietly in the corner over here, because I can't agree more with what you're all saying, so I'm not really sure what to say, other than, yeah! Yeah, I completely
just put
agree.
A big fucking thumbs up on the video.
I just put it on. Oh, yeah, I'll put it on the video right now.
Canon approved.
the other thing I think this album tries to preach is who cares if shit goes wrong? Just keep going forward. It'll go better. Keep it up. I think that sort of ties into that.
It'd be better for somebody.
You don't give up. Just keep going.
Mm.
You'll do something, you'll make an impact.
Mm hmm.
Row, fight the power, like, all that. Ow.
I'm just, like, picturing that dude, you know, waist deep in that water full of clams. He's telling me to try better.
Kombatiya! Kombatiya!
I remember when Maida was a clam, for sure.
Shit, guys, we got another song.
Right, yeah, that one.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
We got another song.
It's a good song. Very important.
I feel like,
fuck you,
even more important.
Koto Hoshina birthday song is amazing. I love this song.
It's so much more. It's so important. We should talk about it.
It's great, but it's no hero, no joke.
No, I disagree, because birthday song gets me going.
Mm. Oh.
And I believe that's what we call a segue.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, like, if this...
Let's not talk about the ending of the song yet. That's the climax. We gotta talk about that last. Let's talk about everything else first.
Okay. So, they're having a kid now, which is kind of a contrast to...
Surprise! Whose kid is this? Do you think that, like, the
the clown dancey puppet master guy has a wife and like they're having a kid, do you think they're the same person?
Nope.
Kind of you think this is the hero?
It's kind of a cute thing to consider, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Because
I think this is the hero.
Because he doesn't think it's right to bring the kid into the world, and Mr. Clown Man isn't gonna think that.
Possible.
I've thought of that and I thought, no, that makes sense. It's different.
Okay.
I think it's the couple from Yukino Fuda and Hoshi. Because, you know, they tried to bring a child into the world, and then that child, like, died. But then, now they're doubtful, because, you know, maybe the child can't live. But that's all being on board the whole...
I think it's entirely possible that theory. This could just be completely unrelated to everything, and just be a completely new couple.
That's what I think.
Thematically, it does tie in well to what Bionic was saying, though.
I feel like that couple is incapable of creating a child. I think that's the point.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Also, they look completely different.
Wait. Yeah, that's kind of a picture.
Just the
freaking Miyuki over here.
The whole thought about like whether it's okay to bring a child into a world which you are worried about is a very real concern, I guess. But Yeah, I don't know. What do you think this song is trying to teach us about that?
Well, SP, remember a couple of minutes ago where I was like, this album's all like, fuck the past, think of the future. No matter what happens, think of the future. Mm. If you don't bring the kid into the world, there ain't no future.
Booyah! You hit the nail on the head. You get a 10.
Yay.
The reason I brought up the whole, like, if is it the storyteller, the clown dude, or whatever, hearing a joke in as the father... here, which I don't think it is that I feel like this child, this unborn child, is being told these same stories, in a sense. Like, I feel like the hero passing those stories on may have passed on to a new generation, being this generation, and now they're telling these stories to their unborn child, and those stories are carrying forward because they're important stories and important morals that people are going to need to have to be able to save the world.
Like she's one of the children he clowned for?
Yeah.
And because he clowned for her, she has the sense to have a child as well?
He's the hero because he gathered those stories and then brought them forward to the new generation.
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks, I feel like Mike. There is a super important cycle throughout this entire album about
my planetarian vibes here.
Generations are so immensely important here because you're talking about problems that are going to persist into the next generation, and nothing's going to possibly happen to them in this current one, and maybe the next ones are going to like. It's a problem that's going to transcend multiple people's lifetimes, and I think that shows. Throughout the album in the multiple stories, which is why I say, like, maybe it's not within the same time frame, but still the same world. So, I really don't like the way the song starts, and it always starts in a way that I'm just like, I don't really want to listen to this. But that's not what's important about this song, because it starts off and you're just like, what is this fucking lullaby shit? But then this song just goes ham, like, out of nowhere. Yeah. It progresses ridiculously well. It, like, kind of starts out with this kind of weird kind of lullaby thing going on, but then it kind of becomes almost, like, kind of a folky, kind of Celtic kind of song. It's weird, Celtic or whatever. Like, it's interesting. But then, like, towards the end, it gets really heavy, and it becomes, like, this ballad, right? Mm. And it's, like, if I could describe it in a way, it's like a ballad of hope. Mm. It, like, just really gets me going. Like, it makes me clench my fist, like, yeah! Like, I don't know, I'm really... It's pull your lighter out at the end, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It's got those
good vibes going on. And let's talk about the la-las! Okay, so, like, as I've said a million times, and I've already said that I've said it a million times, but I'm gonna say it a million more times, is, like, the la-la-las at the end are children! There are children singing along to the birthday song of the new child, the new generation. It's going to bring forth a better world. And, like, I couldn't think of any better way to freaking wrap it up. Like, it just... It hits all the right notes for me. Every little bit of it is just like, yes. It's like...
of course, the story is about this woman giving birth and, like, you know, singing songs of hope to her child because they're being born into such a dismal world. Something that is kind of true to our world. And, like, they have this ridiculous question. Like, the guy asks this question of, like, is this the right thing to do? And she's like, hell yeah, it's the right thing to do. Because, like, it says when the world was born is a fucking mess. Like, when Earth was formed in science, it's just this big ball of fucking fire and magma and darkness and dragons. Fucking nasty clouds. It's some Venus shit. Like, it was just a fucking mess. But you know what? Through all of that, the light of dawn, it came. And, like, a world was born through, like, this primordial soup and this lifelessness. Like, just disaster, because life perseveres. And, like, he says, the singer, the protagonist says, not the woman, but the man says, I'm gonna give birth as well. And you're like, hey, Aaron, you can't do that. But he's not talking literally. He's talking like he's gonna give birth to hope. And I feel like that's, like, the whole, like, that is the gist of the whole album, is, like, you're bringing forth all of these stories and you're continuing to push forward hope, even though it may be an individual whose life is, you know, exhausted without doing necessarily anything itself. It's gonna pass the torch.
It's such a good way to wrap up the whole album, because there was so much depressing shit, and it just leaves you thinking, like, what's it all for? And at the very end, they bring it all together, because each of those stories was a message of hope for the future. And it's just,
generations come and go.
Yeah.
And it's important that we think about the future. And I feel like people don't think enough about the future. And it's like, you may have a generation of apathetic do-nothings that are going to make things fucking hell for the next people. Cough, cough. But the time's going to come. If you have hope, and if you fight, the time's going to come. And then a good future awaits for those who work for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what so many of these songs say. They're like, it doesn't fucking matter if it's shitty right now. Just keep going forward. It's going to be a better day.
The sun will rise. Planting. Maida is planting the seed in your mind.
Oh, yeah. And
from it births. Births
a child.
The child is the future. The story, the morals,
the children are the future.
Telling you, I have failed, but I bring you the stories. I bring you the ammunition.
I think Mitekino Soldier is really good at illustrating this. You know, one guy literally gave his life just to give another person hope. That's pretty much what the whole album is about, really.
Oh, jeez. It's a good album.
It is good.
It's really good.
Oh, it's such a good ending.
I feel like if I were to compare these two albums, Love Song, as I've always said, hits me significantly more personally. Like, I feel like it's a personal album. I feel like it's talking to the individual. I feel like Owari No Hoshi's talking to the fucking world. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, it's bigger.
It is very macro.
It's talking to everyone. It's like talking to, an entire generation and not an individual. Like, Love Song is going to teach an individual how they can do better and what they can look at differently. This song is, like, telling you what you can do and, like, what you can do in kind of a hive mind sense to, like, have everyone come together and do something great by doing things great individually. I feel like they're really good partners to one another. Which is why it's Love Song 1 and this is Love Song 2. And we cautiously await Love Song 3.
What the hell can they go from here?
The universe.
Interplanetary world saving. Save the universe!
I mean, they already took off in an arc, so, you know.
<Yeah. space is> Oh, God. You guys need to read Planetarian and the Drama CDs shit.
What do you mean, need to?
Love Song 1 is a world that is ending. Love Song 2 is the end of the world. Love Song 3 is the world that's ended.
Love Song 2 is the world has ended. Let's be real.
Love Song 3 is the new beginning.
New beginning!
Yeah. Love Song 3
is
on Mars.
Yeah.
Love Song 3 is the dawn on the new world.
Mm. Oh man, I'm hyped for Love Song 3.
like, I know we're being, like, kind of, like, silly about this, but I would be fine if there was never a new love song.
With this.
Yeah, like, I'm perfectly satisfied with this conclusion.
It's a beautiful
idea. It's very beautiful. I know that Maya is going to be working on some new songs at the moment. Like, we've even had stuff like Hikikomori no Uta and Autumn Song and that new one, that new birthday song thing. So I feel like Satsubasu Kids is, like, the future of love song, basically. I don't know what's going to happen with there, and I don't know if it's going to be similar or not, but you can expect more awesome Maeda music in the future. Like, even if he stops writing visual novels, he's always going to be writing songs. So, like, I feel like this is, in a way, like, the future of Maeda.
He's a musician, even in his writing.
Yeah.
His fucking stories progress like music.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather he stop writing visual novels and just keep doing music.
All these takes. What an endo podcast. We're just all over the place.
I didn't finish talking about birthday song.
Go, man, talk.
I just wanted to jerk off with the music. You were going on about the la 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 sounding great, but the fucking drums and guitar at that point is...
Yeah, I did say it progresses ridiculously well. Like, it's like a ballad. It's like a freaking love song.
That's like,
to, like, all the heroes.
I don't think this is the best song overall on the album, but, that ending part is
fire, man. It's good stuff.
Lord.
But yeah, I think Maeda hasn't given up on spreading these messages yet. He's gonna keep fighting the good fight. And god damn it, we wish him all the best. Like, if
that, even if he doesn't, he still left his fucking mark, and people should listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, like, everybody,
like, actually listen to it.
I really do, like, hope that do this. Something. Book Club has helped encourage people to listen to these albums, because
it's no surprise that, like, looking at what these albums are contextually, like, the world's fucked up, and it's really important that people understand that, and, like, there's good and bad, but there could always do better, and I think it's important that as a moral for both of these albums, and as a moral of Maeda as an artist, I think it's important that people take those messages very seriously and, like, try to take something about it and apply it to your own life, because it'll make your life better, and it's absolutely going to make other people's lives better. And I think that that's important, and to go ahead and toss a plug in there, in regards to what you may be doing yourself in your personal life. Maybe you want to bring that up as a topic in the Kazumatsuri Sharing Circle, which is something new that will be coming very soon.
Hmm. Thanks for the shout out. So yeah,
very interesting.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on. But yeah, so wrapping up this book club, we have one final piece of fan art by Black Hayate. I was a bit worried that we weren't going to get any fan art for this week, but she came to the call of Judy at the very last second and produced this lovely little fan art of Last Smile. So thank you so much, Hayate. And thank you also to Cheska for her early contributions in the book club for her art. That was all really awesome. And of course, Maya Butame for his Muteki no Soldier art. You guys, it's awesome to see people, like, creating art for this series and, like, just showing it a bit more love than otherwise would get, because I don't think you're going to find much love song fan art on the internet anywhere. At best, you might get some Muteki no Soldier or something, but it's not going to be much of it. So thank you for contributing that little bit of art to the world. It makes me really happy.
I want to give a final shout out, very important, to Shirana Hito once again, because without all those translations and those pages, this book club literally would not be possible.
Yes, thank you so much, Shirana Hito. I would love to hear what you think of these podcasts sometime. It would be very cool to get some feedback. And I'm sorry, we've been bashing your translations. They're sometimes a little bit awkward, but more like, you are the ones that's given us these translations in the first
literally
place.
Literally,
so,
like, the most important asset.
We depend on you.
We fucking read it.
Yeah. So thank you so much. Yeah, and going back to the forum discussion, I have a few shout outs to make to people who have contributed awesome stuff to this book club. As I've already mentioned, Cheska and Black Hayate and Maya Butame to a lesser extent have submitted awesome discussion as well. Then, of course, we have people like Canon, who has been way on top of the Owari discussion. A little bit of love song, but I think Canon left most of that to us. Bonecuss, this is like one of his most... Sorry, did you want to respond, Cannon?
No, I was just going to say, absolutely. Love Song was your thing.
It was a thing.
I bugged you for the Owari no Hoshi book club. I didn't sign up for that.
Mm-hmm. Bonecuss.
Oh, but I'm so glad it happened.
Bonecuss, this is one of your more active book clubs I've seen from you, so I'm really glad you got on board the discussion for this one.
Better see you on The Voice for one of these podcasts, one of these days, Bonecuss.
Yep. Dango Daikozaku has been very active in the discussion as well, so thank you so much. I think you were, like, the first one to get on top of those topics in the first place, so thank you. Kiketsuki Miu was especially prominent in the original Love Song topics. And then we have Helios Alpha has been phenomenal with this book club. I almost never would have expected this much contribution to you from you to a book club, so I'm really impressed by how far you've gone out of your way to offer your interpretations, and like, you did some really interesting analysis on some of those early Love Song songs, and like, kind of helped me formulate my thoughts a bit, so I really enjoyed those talks, so thank you for doing such a good job with these book club, and like, even helping me out with the management sometimes. It's been very helpful. And Bionic, you have been a tremendous asset to this entire book club, and you've written amazing posts for almost all the songs, I think. Yeah, you've written tremendous essays and brought up some really interesting discussion for all these mini songs, and I'm proud to announce that you are the MVP for this book club. Congratulations, Bionic. Yay! You've earned it.
Oh, shit. This is worth unmuting for.
Yes! Pachi, pachi.
Those sleepless nights were worth something.
You have put so much heart into this book club that I've really needed to...
I love Loves.
I really needed to commemorate it. Because I can tell, like, these albums mean a lot to you personally, and...
I want to thank Pi.
Pi too.
Being able to, like, whenever he was here, to being able to, like, you know, turn all of my think meets into proper words.
It's a shame he couldn't be on the podcast, because he was really good with the music analysis.
How the music works.
Yeah, invaluable. Pi, you're amazing, man.
You forgot Biz.
I mean,
yeah, thanks to Biz, you know, Song Book Club actually work.
I guess I didn't write him down because he didn't post much in the forum. But Biz Kato, man.
How many times we gotta go over this? I don't post on the forum if I'm gonna be on a podcast. It don't work
and
that
like,
way.
And, like, real talk, you are pretty much the host.
I don't want to be an MVP. I don't want to be an MVP, so I'm not gonna post. It's cool.
You're pretty much the host of this book club, to be honest. Like, obviously, I'm, like...
I just like to hang
I'm just the host in name alone. Like, you're the one that's been driving these discussions and keeping people talking and thinking about these songs, and you're probably the biggest reason this book club happened in the first place, so... Everyone!
Hey.
Canon?
No, it's probably canon. It was... You know what? Look, stop. There's no silver bullet, okay? This book club was created thanks to a collaborative effort between the three of us. Me, you, and Canon. And so we must all thank each other.
Mostly you and Ken. But yes.
If there's one thing I'm good at, it's complaining about not having book clubs.
Yes. But yeah,
that's Metal Busters.
Soon. Very soon. And that's a nice segue, Canon. The Little Busters Book Club is our next book club coming up. And I have a vague idea of when it's coming out, but I'm not at liberty to say. All I can say is that it's coming soon. And
a few weeks.
With... It's a vague metric that some random website gave, so you can follow that. Within a few weeks...
Fucking DualShockers, I think.
Yeah, fucking DualShockers.
Thanks, DualShockers.
Yeah.
And you can download Little Busters on the Nintendo eShop at the end of this broadcast.
I wish. But yeah, that's coming, quote-unquote, within a few
Busters
weeks.
If I could play Little Busters on my Switch, I would just die.
Come on, guys.
Life wouldn't be important anymore.
I would buy the hell out of that. Over. You can fucking play Little Buses on the train, man.
I could read the kudru while taking a shit.
I mean, technically you can with the Vita if you read Japanese, but... Yeah, so...
You said you get the Little Busters amiibos!
Little Buster sent me post. Jesus Christ, guys. I'm trying to end a book club here.
You use the amiibos? You use the amiibos and it puts them into the battle rankings?
Okay. Come on, guys. Come on. Okay, so Little Buster's book club is happening, quote-unquote, within a few weeks when the game launches. We'll probably give like a couple of weeks for people to catch up. But yeah, I really want to dig into that because that's going to be, I would like to think, the biggest event Kazumatsuri has ever done. I'm putting a lot of effort into promoting it already. Like, if you just go on Twitter, there's the Little Buster's Hype Van project I'm working on, which is trying to get people hyped for Little Buster's by spreading the news via the hashtag on Twitter. And at the moment, we're doing a fan art giveaway for that. Depending on when this is uploaded, it will probably still be happening. But yeah, so keep an eye on that. Little Buster's is amazing. If you haven't read it, you please use this opportunity to join us. It's going to be tremendous. And for the many of you who have already read it, please use this as an opportunity to reignite your passion for that series. Or if you're not passionate, this is your good chance to get the passion. Because damn, we're going to talk about why Little Buster's is amazing. I am so excited because everyone knows it's my favorite. And so I'm going to be putting an extra bit of effort into that and putting a lot of money into it to make sure lots of prizes happen. And it's going to be a big forum theme. And it's, I'm gushing, but I'm very excited. And I hope that everyone here will be a part of it. So, thank you once again.
This is the shout outs to the listeners song. Thank you to Bonkus and CJ. And Helios Alpha 2, My Batama and Wales, it wouldn't be possible without you.
Thank you to everybody who was part of this podcast, this book club, making it possible. I'm so happy that people are listening to this song, and I'm kind of repeating myself now, but thank you once more, and I look forward to seeing you all for the Little Buster's book club in a few weeks, guys. It's not long now. Woo! It's happening.
I'm actually just gonna die.
I'll be able to die happy once that's done. Take
Kaz, it was made for this.
It really was. We'll see you in our greatest mission yet. Until next time. Bye bye. La 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 la.
Toodles.